Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We're not going to start right there, but I'll go ahead and have you open to that place and we'll get there in just a few moments. My voice seems to be a little weak this morning for some reason. I've had the flu bug, I think, last week, or food poison one, not sure. But I guess my voice is a little weak this morning, so if you'll just keep me cranked up enough, everybody can hear, Gary, that'll be great. I want to speak to you this morning, as I said, on this subject. Can an individual hinder a church from having revival? I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Do you hear what the Scripture says? The things that are written beforehand are for our benefit, things that we can learn from those things. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So God is telling us that as we look back through the Bible, Old and New Testament, the things that are written there, even though we may be studying, as we will this morning, an Old Testament text, an Old Testament event, yet God put that in the Bible to help and benefit us here in this New Testament day, in the day of grace. God wants us to learn from that. I know people that don't have any respect for the Old Testament. They just are grace people. They strictly New Testament, yet they carry a Bible around. I wouldn't do that. If I didn't believe the Old Testament, I'd just carry me a New Testament around. Wouldn't tote the thing for that matter. But I believe it's all the Word of God. And God said everything that's here from one end of the Bible to the other is given for our admonition and for our help. Now, when we see that in mind, we see a story here in the book of Joshua in chapter 6. Joshua is now leading the people of Israel. Moses has been taken to heaven, and they're still on their journey, making their way to the land God has promised to give them. They've come to the conquest of Jericho. They're going to conquer the land of Jericho and take that as they make their progression on to the place where God has promised them to go. So let's pray before we read the Scriptures and ask God to speak to our hearts today. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus on me, on this place. I ask you in the name of Jesus to defeat the demons of hell. Drive them from here. Don't let them distract any member this morning from thinking, listening, pondering, and obeying the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that every one of us will realize the awesomeness and the seriousness of being a part of the body of Christ and being a part of the membership of Kerwin Baptist Church when we're trying to have revival, how vital it is that every member be doing their best on board with what's going on and truly seek God to revive and stir their hearts. Help me, Father, today to be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. As they're making preparation to go and to take Jericho, they're given some instruction. There's too much to read for time's sake today in these about two or three chapters, but we look in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and here they're being given instruction, verse 18, basically not to bring back anything from the battlefield. Conquer Jericho, but leave everything there. Verse 18 says, "If ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, and you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They are to come into the treasure of the Lord." Now you notice, first of all, it's personal. He said, you first of all, to keep yourself clear, don't you personally take anything back from Jericho. He said those treasured things are to go into the treasure of the Lord. Don't take any of that. And then that's a personal statement. Then he comes back and says, speaks of the nation of Israel as a whole, yet that you trouble the whole body. So we see here that principle introduced already, that the people in this battle were to make sure they personally did everything they should, lest individually they bring about a defeat for everybody involved. And said they were not to take those things that were put into the treasury. Come over to chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2. "And the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebulun, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now watch again the principle. First, there's the action of one. One man disobeyed God. One man took the gold and the silver and the goodly Babylonian garment, hid it under his tent floor. One man disobeyed God. Far as we know, nobody else did. But it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against everybody, against the children of Israel. You come down, if you will, to chapter 7 again, verse 4 and following. And there were they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and fled before the men of Ai. Their next conflict coming up now was a little before breakfast job. They didn't even send all the army out. There wasn't any problem. They just going on over here and take care of a little place called Ai. But they beat the living daylights out of them. And it says in verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate even unto Zebulun, and smote them, and the going down whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their hearts, upon their heads, rather. Here that we find the defeat that comes to everyone because of the sin of someone. I hope you can see that principle that's being stated very clearly here in the Word of God. We come down to verse 10, and it said, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned. Notice one sinned, one individual sinned. But God brings the whole people into question. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken the accused thing and have stolen the symbol also and have put it even among their own stuff. The things of God doesn't belong in our stuff, church. They don't belong in our stuff. They belong in God's treasure. And we're not preaching on tithing this morning, but in this case, the treasured things were to be put into the treasury. He stole it and put it in his own stuff, the Bible says here. In verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but they turned their backs before the enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Ask a question again. Can the conduct of one individual have an effect on the whole? I think the answer is yes to that. It certainly can, and it certainly does. In verse 15, it goes on to talk about how Achan was brought in. Achan confessed what he had done. They went to his tent, found the items just as he had described they were. And the conclusion of that was God said he has to be removed if I'm going to bless you as you continue. And they had Achan, his wife, his children, all of his livestock, everything he had, that day were stoned to death and burned. You know, God's judgment gets pretty serious sometimes. And reason, someone said, but why did they destroy the little children? I think because if they hadn't, they'd grow up and be just like their daddy that had other little Achan. So God nipped it all in the bud. And whenever he did that, and this whole family was taken out and judged in the sight of God, then God began to bless them, and they began to move again in the will of God. Now, turn over to we're coming back here in a minute, but the book of Judges. Here we have a comparison story. Here's the man by the name of Gideon, who's leading the people of Israel. They have another conquest here. They're now circling the Midianites, the city of Midian, and they're given some strange orders. They started out with 32,000 people. That's a pretty good army. But he told them, God said, tell everybody that's afraid, go home. 22,000 left and went home. So he said, you still got too many. He said, take them down to the creek and have them to dip water. The ones that laid their weapons down and got down on all fours of the hands like this and put their head down in the water, God said the enemy would be all over them. They'll never see anybody. The ones that held their weapon, got down and watched and dipped water with the other hand and drank, he said, those are the ones I want to go with you. 300 of them did that. So from 32,000 people, now we find Gideon winds up with 300 men. Now that could be discouraging, would you say? And God said, it's okay, Gideon, we got all we need. He said, put 100 on this side of the camp, put 100 on that side of the camp, put 100 on this side of the camp. And he told him, said, now put take you a pitcher and put a lighted candle or a lamp in the pitcher and said, walk around the city. And Gideon said, watch me, listen to me. He said, now whatever I do, you do the same thing. You know, when whoever the leader of any congregation is, if he's following God and the people are following him and God, it's a hard thing for the devil to discourage that. And so he said, watch me and do what I do. And so when the time came, he broke the pitcher, held up the light, and shouted, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the Midianites fled, scared the daylights out of them, and they took the town without one shot. Now, God is showing us what can be done with unity. There's a simple yet profound statement said here in verse 21. Look at that, please, of chapter 7 of the book of Judges. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. The key to that was unity. The key to that was everybody was together. Everybody, the Bible said, every man stood in his place round about the camp. How different from the case of Achan. When everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're not taking anything for themselves, they're obeying God, but one man disobeyed God and caused everybody else to suffer because every man in that case didn't stand in their place round about the camp. He stood in his own place, made his own decisions, and affected all of those that were with him and all that they were doing. The records of the past give great assurance and guidance for our present. I think we need to see how important it is that as individuals. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a member of a church, but it's not a simple thing. We're a part of each other. The body of Christ is an amazing thing. You know, just like our human body. The more you think about your human body, the Word of God says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the more you study your body, the more you can realize that. Do you realize the same blood going through the bloodstream brings in nutrients and hauls off trash? Isn't that an amazing thing that we don't get infected by that? God has put lungs so we can breathe air in and out, and it separates the oxygen, puts it in the bloodstream, feeds the whole body with that. Isn't that amazing? God put us a little roof on our nose. So when it's pouring rain, we can walk around it without drowning. It drips off of the end like that. Other things do too, but it's made for that reason. And got filters, hairs and stuff in there to filter out the air when we breathe. Isn't it amazing? God put ears back here and put sound boards sticking out. Some of them stick out more than others, but God put sound boards back here to catch the sound waves. And just like your hands, look at them. Look at those fingers. Isn't that amazing? Why aren't they all straight? If you close your hand, you'll see why. They are straight when you close them. Isn't that just an amazing thing how God has created us? And you just go on and on and on. The human body is an amazing thing. And the human body cooperates together. When something goes wrong in the body and some part of the body is not cooperating with the rest of the body, there's going to be a serious issue going on there. And God is using the human body to describe to some degree what the body of Christ and the membership of any given church ought to be and how they ought to be the unity and the personal realization of my place in this body. No chain is any stronger than its weakest link. Can I say that again? Okay, how big the links are in the chain, how long the chain is. No chain is any longer than the weakest link. If you put enough pressure on the chain, you'll find out where the weak link is. That's the one that'll give up and break, and the chain will snap. No church is really any stronger than its weakest member. No church is any stronger than its weakest home. All of us together make up Kerwin Baptist Church. Driving into this driveway, walking through these doors and taking a seat does not transform any one of us. We're sitting here this morning exactly as we were. We left the house earlier a while ago. Whatever we were when we left, we are as we sit here today. We look better and we smell better and all that, and we're in the right place, but we are who we are. And so we need to recognize the importance when we come to revival for each individual to recognize that we're a part of the whole. A congregation of people is a collection of individuals. A collection of individuals. It's not a group that God looks down from heaven and just sees Kerwin Baptist Church, bunch of us down here. But God looks down here and sees every one of us individually sitting here in this auditorium. Individuals make up a congregation. Every member of this church, every member of any other church, is either a blessing to that church or a burden to that church. There's never a blank. Every member is either a blessing to their church or a burden to their church. No members are blanks. We're all contributing, we're all hurting. One or the other, we're working to that. Three principles I want to give you quickly this morning before you go home, I believe are biblical principles that ought to show us the realization that every member of us must recognize our place in this effort to have revival. And I think there are three biblical principles that prove that. First is the biblical principle, the responsibility of relationship. Responsibility of relationship. As I said before, all of us are part of this church. All of us live in different places, at different locations. We have a different address. But the day that we were saved and we believed that God led us to join this church, and we came forward and presented ourselves to this congregation and said, I know the Lord, I'm saved, I've been baptized biblically, and I want to unite with this congregation of believers. I want to serve the Lord with you here. And the church received us, and each of us became a part. One by one, the church grows through the years. Now, that's a relationship. We're brethren. We're brethren. We're sisters and brethren in Christ. Means we have a unity because of the birth. We've been born again. This is a family. We're a part of the same. Just go over to your house for just a minute. And husband and wife, I'm just for illustration, say you have children at the house. Some of you have children already grown and beyond that. But you can remember the time when the kids were there. You let one person of this family have a problem and see what it does to the rest of that family. Whole family serves with it, suffers with it. You let one person have a victory in the family, what happened? The whole family rejoices together about that. You take a hammer or something and slap your little finger and see what the rest of the body does. The mind will say to the right hand, get over there and help him. Hold him tight. He's throbbing, you know. And the whole body is designed to work together as one. Well, God says, we need to realize, church, we have a relationship. I'm a part of you. You're a part of me. We're all part of a body. We're not a bunch of individuals here. Unless you see the principle of relationship, then you won't see the principle of responsibility. So first today, you've got to understand we're not an individual who goes to church at Kerwin. We're a part of a body who meets at Kerwin Baptist Church. Just like I have arms and legs and hands and whatever else. And so we're all a member of this body called membership at Kerwin Baptist Church. Plus, we're also a member of the body of Christ. So you understand the principle of relationship. We're a part of a family. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. For I say through the grace given unto me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God that hath dealt to every man by the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another. The Bible says again in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So we must recognize that we're one. There's no separate individuals in the body of Christ. That means how I conduct my life is going to affect each of you. How you conduct your life is going to affect everybody else here. I wonder, do you understand this morning, church? Do you realize the biblical principle of relationship? Of relationship. We're all connected to each other. Nobody in this congregation can just go out and do what he or she chooses on their own. You're part of this church. And God looks on us as a body of believers, and you're a part of us, and we're a part of you, and you have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to one another. So we're many separate individuals, but we're a part of one. We're all connected to each other by the new birth. The choices that you and I make in life not only can but do have an effect on everybody else. The choices each of us individually make do have an effect on everybody else. Are you with me this morning? You're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about relationship this morning. We're all related together. Are we free? Yes, we are free. But we're not free to just do as we please. Free means we're free from sin and sin's condemnation and the consequences of being a sinner. Thank God we've been set free from all of that. But we're not free. I have a yoke on me. God said, take my yoke upon you. You have a yoke on you. And anything I do is going to affect you. I have a responsibility of my life to God, have responsibility to you, not because I'm the pastor, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. If I go out this week and do something terrible, hey, man, I can do what I please. Is that right? I ain't drinking liquor, and I don't know when. I believe I'll just retire with one. Would that bother you? Well, I got my life. It's my life. I can do what I want to with it. Why did it bother you what I do? Huh? It's Suppose I go out and slam the door on my finger and I have a cussing spelled in the parking lot. He said, "Oh, preach, you couldn't do that." I haven't, but I've thought of it. And you have too, if you'd be honest about it. And I just go out there and I just express myself out in the parking lot. Hey, I'm free. I can say what I want to. I can do what I want to. Are we getting the point?
Yes.
I'm talking about responsibility to relationship. I'm responsible to you. You're responsible to me. We're all responsible to each other. We're part of the body. Suppose this hand just goes crazy and starts doing all this stuff, you know. This is a part of the rest of me. It can't go off and just do whatever it wants to. You're a part of the body. And so if you're going to have revival, you've got to recognize I am a part of this. I can be a contribution to revival. I can be a hindrance to this revival because I'm a part of this whole body here. And the first principle we've got to learn if we're going to have revival is the principle of relationship. We're brothers. We're sisters. We're united as one in one body, of which Christ is the head. We're a total membership of Kerwin Baptist Church. Different names, different addresses, different personalities, but we're all connected as one together, and what we do does affect the other. Got the first point. Second point, the importance of unity. Not only do we see the principle of relationship, but second, the importance of unity. In the case of Gideon's, we said a while ago, had a great victory, started out with 32,000 people, wound up with 300, but didn't really need them. They had God, and that's more than the 32,000 put together. But their success did not rest upon what they did. Their success was obeying God and working together, and together doing what they're supposed to do. As the scripture profoundly states, every man stood in his place round about the camp. If one man had been out of place, that whole thing had fell apart. But everybody was in unity. Everybody was doing their job, their place, their thing. They weren't envious and jealous of one another. They weren't fighting against one another. They weren't goofing off somewhere when the battlefield called. But it was a unity that brought that great victory to Gideon and his people. It was the lack of unity that brought the failure to the people of Israel as they went to take Jericho and caused so many people to die. You think about that. There's women's sons died. Women's husbands died. Their children died that day because of Achan's sin. Ai beat the daylights out of them. Many of them were killed that day and wounded as they came dragging back in, defeated that day. And it's all because of Achan. You say, would God do that? I'm trying to teach that to you this morning. I'm just giving you the Bible story. And so there was great suffering went on that day. Great loss happened to that entire group because of one man's disobedience and rebellion against God. And so we see not only the principle of relationship, but we see the principle of unity, a biblical principle that we need to realize with all of our heart. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The lack of unity is the modern day curse and killer to revival meeting and to a whole lot of things going on in church. I don't know anybody's heart, and that's not my point. I'm not supposed to know that. But, you know, we walk in here, sit down, we all look good, we all clean up pretty good. As far as I'm concerned, this is a fine group of people. But, you know, I don't know what's in this auditorium. There may be some men sitting right here been have a habit of watching pornography, either on TV or I don't know where all they find it. I know you can get on the internet. Dorcas tells me she's watching it on there the other day. You believe that? I got a bridge to sell you. But I don't know where all you can find it. But I've counseled people that, and others, and maybe some of you have with your friends, that, I mean, it's an addictive thing. I've heard that if you watch pornography one time, you're addicted. Like if you try crack cocaine one time, you're addicted. I'm not going to try either one to find out. But I've heard from people supposed to know what they're talking about. If you watch it one time, you're addicted to it. And yet there are people in Baptist churches all over America. What's that trash? Let their minds get filled with lust and adultery and fornication and come to church on Sunday morning with the King James Bible tucked under their hand and holler, "I love Jesus," and God sees it. People won't pay their bills. They let things and tell what a great Christian they are. I've had to call people in my lifetime. I remember one occasion I called people I had my mortgage with, and I said, I'm having a hard time, and I can't pay my full payment on the first of the month, but I can pay half of it on the first and the other half on the 15th. That'll be all right. They said, that'll be fine, Mr. Myers. You send it on in. There are ways to handle financial problems. There are ways to deal with that. If you've got a problem, you go to the man you owe. Remember the first thing I bought? Dorks and I were getting ready to get married. I don't know why I'm on this. This is not my notes. Dorks and I were getting ready to get married, and we'd looked at several furniture stores, tried to find some furniture. In my community, they wouldn't do that much now, but there was a furniture store sitting up on the side of the highway. A man lived in a house right behind it. He'd run that furniture his whole life, just sitting there. I went by that for 10, 12 years as a kid riding a bicycle. So we went by there to find some furniture. His name was Mr. Ferguson. We found just exactly what we wanted. He would finance the furniture for you. And so we got our bedroom suit. We're going to have a payment. Listen, it'll astound you. $10 a month. And so we signed all that up, and I'm getting ready to go. Now, I'm 20 years old. And when he talked about finances, I said, Mr. Ferguson, I'll get my daddy to come and sign for me. He said, I don't want your daddy to sign it. I said, I'm only 20 years old. He said, if you're old enough to get married, you're old enough to pay your debts. He said, you sign it. And I signed it. He looked at me and said, now, Joe, I'll tell you something. Right now, you think you can make these payments, and you probably will. But if the day ever comes you can't, don't ride by me and turn your head and act like you don't know me. You drive your car in here and come in and face me like a man and tell me, Mr. Ferguson, I'm having a hard time. I can't pay my payment this month. He said, I'll put it on the end of it, but don't act like you don't know me. That man taught me a great lesson when I was just starting out in life. Yeah, there are people that are dishonest in their business dealings, stealing, treating their neighbor like trash. I visited a home some years ago, and one of our member families lived next door, and they don't come anymore here. And I was trying to lead that couple to Christ, and the man said, Preacher, I don't have anything against you. As far as I know, you're a fine man. But he said, I just want to tell you, that family that lives next door to me, members of your church, if that's the kind of Christianity you have, I don't want anything to do with it. And yet that person sit among you members right here and had no idea that's the kind of neighbor they were. It's getting quiet in here today, and that's what it ought to be. Because we need to realize just how serious our personal life is when a church is trying to have a revival. The responsibility of relationship, and also the responsibility of unity. And the third and the last thing, the effect of every individual on the entire group. As we look at the story of Gideon, each one of those 300 men did their job. Not 300, but 300 ones. All each of those 300 men were where they needed to be, doing what they're supposed to be, and because of every man in his place, God gave them a great victory. The case we find here of Joshua, it was the exact opposite. Everybody was in their place. Everybody's doing just what they're supposed to do. Everybody's obeying God except one named Achan. He's over here stealing, hiding, disobeying God, and doing everything he shouldn't be doing. We see without question the effect. Don't forget the verses I read to you to begin with. These things that were done in the past are for our admonition. God wrote them down so it'd help us. And we find the effect of every individual. It's not possible, listen to me, it's not possible for any one of us to sin alone.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.